You have to be careful because there could be more of them.
Okay, we're continuing now the ninth chapter, Paraduma. It's an easier chapter, much easier chapter. Okay, we're now going to discuss how do you sanctify the water, the exact process of putting the ash in the water. How do you do it? What's the ground rules? What makes it kosher? What makes it not kosher? So, Ketzad Makachim, how do we sanctify Esamayim, the water? The Ephra HaPara, with the ashes of the Paraduma. So what do you do? No Seines HaMayim Shnismalu L'Shem Mechatas Bakli. First of all, you got to take the water that was filled for the express purpose to be for Paraduma water. You put it in a utensil. V'noisein Ephra Al Pnei HaMayim, and you put the ashes on the face, on the top, floating on the water. To what extent? I already spoke it out yesterday. So it floats on the water. So all you have to have is that the area of the water, the top, whatever you're going to call that, must be a surface of the water, should be covered with the thinnest layer of ash. So whatever the area of the water on the top should just be covered with a thin blanket all over the water. That is what you have to do. Even if it's a huge, 100 gallons.
A big barrel.
But let's say it's deep. Okay, here's going to be the big insight in a minute.
It doesn't matter how deep
it is. It's deep. It could be deep, right? And the top is, you know, relatively whatever. You just have to cover that area there. That's it. Now you see what's going to happen at the end of the day. When you mix it, what's it going to look like? Water.
Yeah.
It's going to be water with a little, maybe a shade of gray.
Even if it's so deep.
And you're going to see even much more as we continue the halachas today. It's not supposed to look like, you know, this ash water.
No, it's supposed to look like regular water.
It's really water. That has a little ash in it.
A little sediment.
If you think about any amount, like you have anything of water, even that little cup that you have in your hand. If I just put a little ash covering the top and I stir it up, okay, it'll make it a little gray. Now let's multiply that by 50.
There's no room.
The ash isn't going to necessarily be so much, maybe a little bit more, but it's not meant to make the water look gray.
Ash.
That's the point we're trying to make over here.
Rabbi said no definition as to how deep the water can be.
So far I haven't seen
something as high as...
Well, it's got to be practical too, right? You got to be able to...
You can't store it in a 1,000-foot barrel.
Right, but I mean...
It could be a 5-foot barrel. It could be a 4-foot barrel.
Long, narrow.
You need very little ash.
Okay, just hang on. We're going to have cases where there's even no ash and it's going to be good. We'll see. You're going to see in a few halachas how far this goes. So just get in your mindset that it's not like a very nice, like when you're making tea. Right, you got tea over there?
Yeah.
So you see it's discolored.
Right.
So it's not meant that the ash, the paraduma, has to be discolored water. Mm-hmm. It could really look like clear water, but it's the content has some ash in it. Mm-hmm. And that ash is not going to be enough to discolor the entire... That's right.
It doesn't dissolve in the water.
No. It's tiny little particles. But it'll usually settle at the bottom.
Yeah, it'll be burned.
So now, there's a question. Rambam says, I skipped, right? Okay, so then what do you do? So now, the afal pishi, chavis gedolim, there's a big barrel, malaya mayim. You still don't need more than just to cover the top. Well, wherever called. Now then, you mix it. Mm-hmm. Now, what if you put the ash first?
Then
you put the water in. That's a great puzzle. That's no good. Now the Rambam is going to say, but wait a minute. If you look in the pasuk might appear to say that's the way it should be done. So how do we understand it? But it says in the Torah, "Vanasan olav." The pasuk says, "Place on it," meaning the ashes of the paraduma. Mayim chayim. You place spring water on it. So what does the Torah mean? So it doesn't mean to place it on it. But rather, it means you're placing the water on it by stirring it, then the water will now come on.
Envelop it.
Oh, because you have to look at the rest of the pasuk. Mayim chayim el keli. You put the mayim chayim to the utensil. So clearly, the Mayim Chaim has to be going into the utensil, not into the ash.
Right.
But the fact that the ash is placed upon it, it means rather once it's stirred, it's upon it. That's the way we understand the pasuk. Okay, so clearly the water has to be on the utensil, and the fact that you're placing water on the ash, it means when you stir it, then the water is now on the ash. And that's how you have to understand that. Okay.
So if you reverse the order, it's possible.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Now, babe,
you wouldn't even know how much ash to put, because it's not covering the layer.
That's right. Well, you figure, well, just cover the bottom, but whatever. Right. You can't. It's got to be water and then ash. Now, next halacha is all about kavana. Hamekadesh sar shiskavein. When you're going to sanctify the water, you have to have kavana, a lot of kavana. V'yitein ha'efer biyado alamayim. He puts the ash with his hands on the water. Shenemar, as it says, v'lachu latame. You shall take for the tame person. Why does it say for the tame person? Meaning, anshia miskavein lekidush ulamilui ulazoya. You have to have the sanctification of the water, the filling of the water, and the sprinkling of water on the tummy person. All has to have the right kavana. Because the pasuk says, v'lokhu latame, you take it for the tummy guy. Meaning the taking has to be for the sake of purifying a tummy person, and all the activities correlate to that. So you have to have kavana in everything that you're doing. So I'm having kavana, I'm drawing the water because it's going to be for paraduma water. I'm sprinkling the ash because I want it to become paraduma ash. You'll see what it's going to exclude in a second. And when you sprinkle on the guy, you have to have kavana.
But you don't have to have a particular person in mind when you...
No, I'm just doing it for tummy people. Right? I'm doing it for that. Now, here's what it's excluding now. What if you've got the ash on a windowsill and the wind blows some ash into the water? Mm-hmm. Okay. Or let's say the ash is in your hand. Then the guy pushed you. Oy! Or the wind blow it out of my hand. It came from my hand into the barrel. Or let's say when I put it down, it just hit the top of the edge before it got to the water. And then afterwards it went in. Or let's say it fell in your hand. From your hand it went to this hand. And then from your hand it just fell off. Hare's a puzzle. They're all puzzle. You've got to take it and put it. What you got here, your force is what puts it into the water.
You don't throw it in, but you
whatever
sprinkle it.
But you sprinkle. But it's the force of your hand has put it in with your kavana. I want to use my hand to put the ash into the water to make it paraduma water, and not just oh, it's not the wind just blew it out of my hand. Oh, that's great.
No, kavana too. Because if someone pushed your hand, it would be your hand.
But it's not your kavana. It has to be with your thrust, okay, your right power.
You have to sprinkle it in.
What?
You have to sprinkle it in.
You're doing, too.
But even though you say, what's the difference? It was in my hand and the wind just blew it in.
No,
I have to have kavana that I'm sprinkling it in for that purpose. Okay, now, very fascinating. So now you have to have enough to cover up the water.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have 2 cups
of water.
And you put, let's say, in one, let's say they're equal, and I put only half amount of ash. I cover half of the water on one side, and I cover half on the other side. And then I'm going to mix the two afterwards. So at the end of the day, I had enough. Right? So he says like this, Kidesh pachas v'yazob eklizeh. You sanctified less than the amount that you're supposed to put of ash into this utensil. The other utensil, you also put less than the amount. Loni skatcha. They don't get sanctified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right? No matter what you're going to do after, it's not going to help. You've got to have enough to cover that film. Now, theoretically, if I would have just, you know, poured them together, and I could take all the ash together, would have been enough to cover the top.
If you stack them.
Yeah.
If you stack them upright, and you could use that amount on top
right,
of
but
the
it line. But it's too late. You already didn't put enough in each one, so it's not going to work. You know, in other words, after the fact, you say, "Well, I did have enough ash; it just wasn't on one place at one time." So that's not
the whole thing. Doesn't make any sense because if you started to put ash in one, then the water you drew for the other one is not going to be any good anyway.
But I figure, well, what if I just combine them?
Unless someone drew both things of water. Now
well,
just
it's just saying it. Even though ultimately I had enough ash, theoretically it was enough ash for the two. Because if I mixed the two together, it would be enough. In other words, I could, let's have cup number one. Okay, I don't know. Let's say the square area of ash is like two square inches. whatever the number. I don't know what number to quantify it as. To fill up this cup, I need 2 square inches. I put 1 square inch in here and 1 square inch here. So I got 2 square inches, don't I?
Yeah.
And if I would have put this cup, fill it up with water, it just would have gone higher up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then I would have had enough between the two.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be in each cup. It's got to cover each cup, and you can't combine. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Now, what if... Okay, the ash is floating on the top. Okay. So now you have some ash. And not all the ash, you know, it cannot be 100% precise here. You know, you could have, you put the ash on the water. So there's the part of the ash that's actually touching the water. Mm-hmm. And then there's a very thin layer of ash, let's say, that's on top of the ash that's touching the water. Right. Even though it's not an extremely large amount. But there's some ash that's not wet.
Right. It's ground fine.
Because it's very hard to put exactly,
that's
you know,
layer.
That like the thinnest layer of ash 100%. That it's sitting on the top. You know, you're going to have a little bit more than that. So what if you got some of this ash floating the top, and now you scrape off some of the top that didn't get mixed with the water? Okay, let's think about that. I want to use it now for I put too much ash. I want to remember, Paradumas, you only have so much ash. You want this to last for a few hundred years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I put too much ash. Let me skim a little off, and I'll use it for another water, so I'll have more Paraduma water.
No.
So now he skimmed it off. Now it goes to another glass that you've poured water, and now you're putting ash, that ash, second time on that. That's okay. It's okay because there's nothing wrong with that ash. I didn't do anything. I didn't.
It didn't touch the water. It was extra.
That's the point.
I gave extra.
It's got to have touched the water. How are you skimming it off?
No, it was an extra.
It was a little bit too thick. You put a little bit too thick.
You're getting it off without it getting wet.
It's like, that's right. Shelly, you put too much chocolate powder in your milk. So there's a little bit of powder on the top that doesn't get wet.
Did you ever, it happened to me once in a while, did you ever like put way too much pepper? Or too much something in a food, you know. I was putting pepper on the chicken, and
the top came off.
The top just came off.
Right.
That's not a good thing.
And thump,
like, that's a lot of pepper.
So I skimmed some off.
Nothing to see there,
right?
Well, that
so I'm just saying. So I know that it's going to be a hard thing to do, but theoretically, if you could skim off. And now what's left is just ash that's adhering to the water. This part is totally dry. It never got as... So that, in other words, it doesn't disqualify it. Even though you poured it once, but as long, you'll see in a minute, as long as it doesn't touch the water and doesn't become wet, you can use it again on different water.
I guess the finish is you had kavana for it, and now you're...
But I put too much. However, but any part of the ash that actually touched the water, you can't use it the second time, even to the point of the following. Let's say you took some off anyway, and it was wet, and now you dried it. Let's say you took the part you took off, it was a little wet, and now the wind dried it out. And that's completely dry. And now you put it on a second thing of water. Eino menagvo umekashu. You can't try to sanctify it. This becomes a rule. Any ash that actually adheres to the water, that's it. It has to stay with that. And anything that does not adhere to the water, never touched it and isn't wet, it can be used again.
That's, you can
even though it was sitting in the...
It was sitting in the glass, but it wasn't touching the water. It was not necessary. You end up putting too much. Now, good luck skimming it off.
You need a very steady hand.
You don't have to skin it off.
You can mix it in, Shelly. Okay.
You can have excess. You can have excess. It's just you're trying to economize.
Okay. Now,
yes.
Now we're going to talk. Now we're going to talk about another issue. If you know, in a mikveh, we're not talking about this. I'm just giving the idea for reference. How do we make a mikveh kosher today? You have to have a bore, the actual rainwater, but nobody goes into the actual rainwater. You have one little bore with rainwater. Then you got a big mikveh with regular water, and he has a little hole in between. And the waters, as I say, kiss each other. And now it's all one connection.
That's all there is for this.
That's it.
There's no way you're going to have that kind of rainwater collected for a huge mikveh, a regular mikveh. It's a tremendous amount of water, way more than 40 saw. So any, but usually they protect the original bore. You don't see it. Usually they cover it up because they want people to mess it up. But that's how it works. So there's an idea the waters kiss each other. So now we're going to have some more kissing of the waters over here with the ashes. So let's see some interesting halachas, Dawud. You have two concentric utensils, a big one and a small one. Okay, let's say you've got a nice bowl. Now a smaller bowl that's sitting in the middle of the bigger bowl.
Okay.
And now you got water covering up everything.
Okay.
So you got the water in the small bowl and water in the big bowl. Mm-hmm. Right? So kli kot and shayib it's all kli gadol. A small utensil was submerged in the big one. They malay a mine and they're filled with water. And the water's freely floating, you know, through both of them.
Sure.
Kefan shinas, but remember the small utensil is below.
Right.
So think about that for a minute. Think about that a minute. You got the small utensil's got water. And the bigger utensils got water well beyond that one.
Right.
So now, and I'm putting some ash where?
On the top of the big one.
And just for the sake of description, there's no ash floating over the small one per se. It's like on top of the small one.
Right. There's water in between.
Right. It's the water. Right. The small one's at the bottom here. Now you got the big ones this high. The ash is over here. And it's not touching any of the ash isn't touching the water by the lower utensil. Okay? So now, cave and shinasa everybody, once you put the ash on that higher, bigger utensil, so the water in the smaller kli is also holy. Let's say it was a very narrow opening, but only so, and no ash came in at all. So try to figure like this. You got a very nice big barrel. Now, inside, you have a very small...
A small cup. No, but it doesn't...
Okay, whatever. Very small. So now, and it's way at the bottom, right? So now, the ash is on the top. Now, it's and the top and the lower one has a very narrow neck. So what's going to happen, even when I mix it... It's not going to get in. And when I'm going to take that small utensil out... There is zero ash in it. Here's the point. But since the waters were kissing each other, so it's like one thing of water completely. Even though the opening of the bottom was very narrow, no ash got into the smaller one. But since the water's all mixed up, it's good. So here you see clearly that this water has 100% no ash.
Nothing.
It's still good. So you see, it's not a question of discoloring the water.
It's not a question of even having the ash in it. It has to be contact with water.
That's
the
only way to get a lot of extra sprinkles
That's right. Or, well, but really, if you think about it, it's no different than a huge barrel.
Yeah.
With a small neck.
Because what if that little utensil wasn't in there? So you could theoretically have water that high anyway.
Yeah.
Is it the size of the neck? If you have a, if it comes to a...
As long as a kli.
It's the surface.
As long as it's
a kli. How
do you
define that?
A kli, a receptacle.
A vessel.
If it was like a big jug, then it comes to a very narrow neck.
So fine.
Doesn't matter.
Then you would only need a very little bit on the top of that.
It could be, could be. Yeah. Could be. Okay.
But I don't understand how you would get to that, because if you put, if you have this big jug with water, then you take the other clay with water and you put it in there. So now you've messed up the water because you've done something else with that.
No. You put them both there and then you pour
it in. You fill them both at the same time?
Yeah.
One in the other and you fill
them. But then one's inside the other.
And you just pour it inside.
What?
You put it inside before you start.
No. The bowl's there. Both bowls are in there and you just pour it in.
Then what are you pouring the water? What are you filling them up with water? Is one bowl in the other, then you're filling them up?
Let's say.
Yes.
Okay. And now let's say now I pour water into the small bowl. first, okay. And I'm pouring water into everywhere around it.
It overflows the small bowl. And then fill it up.
Okay. Now, here's now another interesting case now. So now, instead of another bowl in the water, how about a sponge in the water?
Ooh.
Got a barrel of water and a sponge inside. You have a sponge that's in the water. When you put the ash in. Okay? Ash on the top. Now, let's think about this. Now, you know what happens when that sponge gets squeezed? A ton of water is coming out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the status of that water?
It's mine.
Now, remember, the small kli, where there's absolutely zero ash in the small kli, we said all that water in the kli is sanctified. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I've got this sponge, which is sort of, but not exactly, like that small kli in a way, because I got water in that sponge. When I take that sponge out,
but that is
it's water.
So that water kissing the other water?
Well, the sponge is in the water.
I understand, but it's
in the water.
No, but here's the problem. The stuff inside the sponge is not kissing with the water.
The water is not kissing.
Well, but it's a sponge, but there's a whole different rule. I like the direction you're going in, but the Rambam's not going to go that direction.
He never consulted.
I hear your lumbus, but Rambam's not going to go that way. So the question is like this. So if the inner kli, all the water there is holy, even though no ash got to it. So what about the sponge? Let's say I took the sponge out. I put the ash on the top.
Mixed it up.
And now I just took the sponge out.
And squeezed it.
And I got, that should be great water.
Well, not a
Paraduma water. Because it's no worse than a kli. Rambam says, no, here's the rule. The water in the sponge is pasul. It won't affect the rest of the kli yet. Because it's not a kli.
That's it.
The sponge, a kli is a receptacle. Sponge. Receptacle means it has a receptacle. A sponge, even though water is inside, but that's not called a receptacle. So therefore, that water is pasul. But now you got a problem.
Okay.
How do you take it out?
Fish.
Now, there's a problem. The Rambam is not telling you yet. He's going to tell you in a few halachas, not till ches, but he's assuming you know ches already. So I'll have to tell you. What if you have good sanctified water with the ash and everything, and now you mix in some not sanctified water with it? We will learn, even if it's a drop, it makes all the water puzzle. We're going to get to that. You got a perfect paraduma water. It's amazing. And now somebody went into water that's not sanctified, I don't know, sanctified, and just puts it in, even a little bit. It's not bottled. The whole thing is down the drain.
Wow.
So now let's look what we got over here. You got this barrel. You got the ash on top. All the water is sanctified.
But you got a sponge.
The sponge is in there. The water in the sponge is not. Now, how are you going to get the sponge out of that utensil?
Pour out the water first and then take the sponge out.
But you could just take your hand in and take it out.
You're going to squeeze it.
But what happens when you take it and take it out?
You're going to squeeze it.
You have to squeeze something.
Whole thing is possible.
And now let's say one drop comes out of the sponge.
Done.
It's
going to
possible the whole thing. So here's the question. Kate said, Yasa, what do you do? How do you get out of this predicament?
Pour out the water.
Says the Rambam exactly like you said. Zolef es kol hamayim. You pour out the water. At shemagil esvog. Until you get
to the sponge.
Velo yiga besvog. But don't touch the sponge.
It's like the Charmin.
Don't touch the sponge. Vim noga besvog. Because if you did touch the sponge. Afal pisha mayim tsofim al gabav. But even though there's water floating on top, kol shehein psulin. Any amount that comes out of the sponge makes it possible. Why? Mipnei shamayim shebesvog yotzim. Because any little pressure is going to take some water out of the sponge. Umisar v'mamayim ekshem. It's going to mix with the kosher water, and therefore it will possible it.
It's very hard to get that water out without squeezing the sponge.
No, don't touch the sponge. Take the whole utensil, pour it out.
When you pour it, you don't think the water will come out of the sponge.
No, you're not squeezing it.
As long as you're not squeezing it. It's not going to come out.
Yeah.
It's not going to out if you're not squeezing.
Yeah,
the stuff on top of the sponge, right next sponge will come up, but it's not in the sponge.
Yeah.
When you just have a sponge and you're pouring out water, any water that's around the sponge will come up. But water from the sponge can't go out till there's some pressure on it.
Yeah, right. Worse.
If you theoretically could lift the sponge up without touching it, let's say you levitated it. Let's say you levitated the sponge. Any water that comes out is not from the sponge. It's coming from on top and the side around the sponge.
Put something underneath the sponge and bring it up.
Okay, yeah, fine. You hear? So therefore, but once you touch that sponge, a little drop, just boom, somebody's going to go up and toss it up. Last line over here. Now, this is what happened where you had the sponge in first. Now let's reverse it. Let's say you have this amazing water. There was no sponge. And now a sponge falls in.
Oh.
Should be fine.
Ah, think about that. You had a dry sponge, goes into a nice barrel of para aduma, fixed up water.
Yes.
If the sponge falls into water that's already been sanctified with the ash on the on that, guess what? Note though, you may remove the sponge and you don't have to worry about it. But don't squeeze it when it's in there. Remove it. Remove it, but don't squeeze it. But you squeeze it when it's out of the utensil. And the water inside is kosher. However, so what he's saying is like this. Because so here's the thing. The real law is there's no problem with that sponge. Because all the water is already sanctified water.
Right.
There's only one problem, a gzeira.
Yes.
Decrees. Remember those rabbinic decrees that hit you every time. If we see a guy, if a sponge fell in, you think everybody's going to know the sponge fell in afterwards?
No.
Someone's
going to
walk by, come in 45 minutes into the class, right? 45 minutes into the class, sees you pulling the sponge out, and figured it was there the whole time, right?
Yeah.
He said, how dare you pick that sponge out? You know you messed up. What are you talking about? It fell in. I didn't see that. So rabbinically afraid, people will think that it just came in afterwards. So therefore, we're not going to tell you shouldn't squeeze it. Rabbinically, don't squeeze it because we're going to think you could squeeze it if it was there originally. Yeah. So take it out. Okay, but if I'm taking it out, isn't something going to come out? Yeah, but I don't got an answer. In other words, when the sponge was in there in the beginning, well, then really it will possible it. So you have to pour the water out. But if the sponge came in afterwards, really it's not making it possible because it's only having water that was already kosher water.
Right.
So what do we say? We say, really, we don't have to make you to the point just pour the water out. We tell you, take the sponge out. We're not going to be so concerned. Maybe you're going to push it. But to squeeze it, that you should not do
when
inside.
When you take it out, you can squeeze the water out and it's good water.
In the sponge?
What we said? You extract the sponge, you can squeeze the sponge.
No, that water we don't use because people will think it was not good water.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So the only thing we're not going to be particular is you can remove the sponge from the water since it's not a problem. But any squeezing already, that already goes too far. Okay, tomorrow we're going to use pictures.
Just a Whipple.